Welcome. I'm so glad to see you today. Well, boy, there's a lot of folks here today, and I'm glad that you could come. We want to welcome those worshiping with us online as well. How many of you are wide awake today? Well, stick around. I'll take care of that. Okay, look, now here's the here's the deal. I'm looking around the room, and I see some of you are not sitting in your assigned seats. I've noticed some of you got bumped, and even though it's not full, you're sitting in, and it's messed up my whole equilibrium, okay? So I've got a suggestion for you. Buy season tickets, okay? That way, this won't happen. But I'm glad you're here. Last week, we started a new series. We talked about how to talk to your kids, right? And we said, really, the advice we're given is for kids of all ages. Same thing today. It's 5 weeks long. We're going to talk about, there's a lot of things in here you could share with your children, your grandchildren. But also, it applies to all of us at any age. And we're going to talk about forming healthy friendships, because friendship is critical, isn't it? Especially when you're growing up, but really at any age, you need people around you who are really good friends who can help you be the person that God wants you to be. Now, here's the thing. This is the paradox today. The world is so much more connected than it's ever been in the past. Why? Because of technology, right? And yet, there is an epidemic of loneliness. Just being online with people is not always the same as being in relationship with people. And people everywhere. In fact, it covers people of all ages. Little children, grade school children, teenagers, young adults, middle-aged couples, elderly people are all talking about how they are lonely. In fact, we've never seen numbers like this, like we're seeing in America today, of people who are just lonely. And in Britain, it's even worse. In other countries, they say that the number of people who are lonely, 68% of the people in Great Britain say they're lonely. They even assigned a prime minister of loneliness in Great Britain to try to tackle that, to try to help with that problem there. And so what do we do in a situation like that? I heard about a high school camp of students, and they were asked to stand up if they were lonely. 80% of them stood up. In a world where people are online all the time, people are still more lonely than ever. They say, I experience loneliness on a daily basis. And part of that, you know, is social media. We've talked about this before. People look so good on social media. You think, why can't I look that good? Why can't I go on that trip? Why didn't I do that? But really, that's not reality, is it? That's just what they make you see, but things are not really that way. And so we see all kinds of things that are really not the case. And what we want to see is the reality. People are starving for authentic connection with others. And the Bible has a lot to say about loneliness. God says this. In Genesis, it says, it is not good for man to be alone. God hates loneliness. Now, we were made to be relational creatures. We're not made to live a life that's solitary. The Bible says that the body of Christ is all of us together. And every one of us, we have different gifts. And if we all come together, if we all use our gifts together, then we accomplish God's church, right? And so that's who we're meant to be. We're meant to live in that kind of relationship with other people. And so what are we doing to do that? Studies have shown that if you have fewer friends, you will die earlier. Can you believe that? It affects people. I went to my high school reunion last year. I told you it was the 50th reunion. And when I got there, a lot of my guy friends had died. They weren't there. I saw other people there. But one of my guy friends, he was 65 years old when he died. And he worked out of his apartment. He lived in an apartment in Atlanta. He worked out of his apartment. And so he did everything online. And the only time he ever went out, he did play instruments. He was in a band. But that was about it. He kind of became a recluse. You couldn't call him. You couldn't connect with him. You couldn't get up with him. He lived in a gated community. And he died at 65 alone in his apartment. And it's just sad to see that. And so what we want to see is that there are different kinds of friendships. There are casual friendships, there are close friendships, and there are core friendships. Now, casual friendships, those come about because of circumstances, right? Could be work or school or the neighborhood. Could be sports or a casual relationship and circumstance with somebody. close friends, these are people we choose to be friends with. These are people that we want to be around. We make the choice. It's not accidental that we know them. And people say, I'm closer to people, you know, than I've been. Then the closer you are to somebody, the greater influence they're going to have on your life. That's why we tell our children and grandchildren, pick your friends wisely, because you're going to kind of migrate to your closest friends. You're going to become more and more like that person. So is that the kind of person you want to be? You need to be around people who will help you be the best Christian that you can be. And so God says to choose those folks wisely. Proverbs says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And that means you have to be selective. You have to really look and see. There's some people you need to avoid. And I know what you're thinking. I went to church today and the preacher told me there are some people I need to avoid. And I was already thinking that. And now I have permission to do it. He told me that. But that's what the Bible says. It says some people are not going to be good for you to be around. They're not going to help you. And so you've got this outer circle of casual friends, and then you've got an inner circle of close friends, and then a really close inner circle of core friends. And really, if you think about it, that's what Jesus did, didn't he? Jesus had certain friends in the way that he did life. Think about it for just a minute. Jesus fed the 5,000, right? The big masses of people. But he trained 120, but he discipled 12, and he mentored 3. So you see how even Jesus put this into practice. Only Peter, James, and John got to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. They were the only ones that got to go to the Mount of Transfiguration. They were the only ones who got to go with Jesus and see Peter's mother-in-law healed. And later in the book of Galatians, Paul calls those three, Peter, James, and John, the pillars of the church. And they were people who would bear more responsibility. They were with Jesus more. They would take on more to be his disciples. Look at what the Bible says. You're supposed to choose your close friends. God, he really does say there are people that you need to avoid. Would you agree that the wrong group of people can pull you down? Yeah, you've seen that happen in life, right? You've seen people get really messed up by having the wrong friends. And, you know, if people are always competing and they're always fighting and nagging and detrimental, if they're always pulling each other down, those are the kinds of people you want to avoid. Now, there are some things here we're going to talk about, and I'm going to give you a list of some things he says for us to look at. Number one, stay away from people who like to argue. You ever known anybody that's just contrary? I mean, you say black, they say white, right? And they just want to argue about it. You throw the hat down, they're ready to go. Conflict. And it makes them come alive. They just really thrive on that. And there are people who cause conflict. They're irritating. They're agitating. God says, don't hang around those people. Proverbs says, avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only in fools insist on quarreling. And then number two, people who gossip. Avoid those people. Now, gossip is sharing information that you're neither a part of the problem or a part of the solution. The Bible says in Proverbs, a gossip goes around telling secrets. So don't hang around with chatterers. Go ahead and say that, chatterers, with me. I had to practice that for a while. Chatterers. You know, that's not what you're supposed to do. Number three, people who flatter others. Now listen, you can compliment somebody and it can be sincere, right? But have you ever known anybody who is so sugary sweet and syrupy that they just kind of went overboard and you knew that they really didn't mean what they were saying, right? How many of you are old enough? Some of you are going to learn something here because you never even know what I'm talking about. How many of you are old enough to remember the show Leave It to Beaver? Leave It to Beaver. Good. I'm in my people right here. The rest of you hang on. Maybe you'll learn something, okay? Okay, Beaver Cleaver was this little boy, and he had an older brother named Wally, and Wally had a friend, and his friend's name was Eddie Haskell. And Eddie Haskell was always the kind of guy sucking up to Miss June Cleaver. He was always really complimenting her and all this stuff, and she could see right through it. She knew that he was lying through his teeth, but she just kind of went along, thank you, Eddie, okay, great, bye. But that's kind of who he was, right? If you never saw the show, just take my word for it, okay? And the rest of these people who are all nodding their heads, that's the truth, okay? So here's the deal. False praise is insincere compliment, right? You know, there's some people who will flatter you to their face, and then they'll talk badly behind you, behind your back. I said in the first service, I said, you see, what they do is they're staff members, and what they do is they really suck up to the boss, but then behind him, they talk badly about him, and they all got nervous in there in the church. They were like, ooh, like I was going to point somebody out. I was joking, okay? It's just a little humor. Work with me here. I wasn't talking about anybody on staff. If you want to know who it was, talk to me after the service. Okay. All right. Proverbs says this. To flatter friends is to lay a trap for their feet. And so the Bible says, hey, you know, sometimes people flatter you, really, because they really hate you. It says, they repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship. The Bible says stay away from those folks. And then number four, people who can't control their temper, right? Now, these are people, they're either in the mute category or the martyr category when they get upset. Let me explain it. They express their rage differently. I'll say it this way. Everybody's either a turtle or a skunk. That's the way it works out, right? Because what does a turtle do? A turtle, if they get upset, they just pull into their shell and they say, poor me, everybody hates me, nobody loves me, I think I'll go eat worms, right? That's what turtles do. But then there's the skunk. And when a skunk's upset, everybody knows it. And everybody, they stink up the whole place. You can smell them. So the Bible says those people that can't control their temper, they don't need to be your closest friends. These are hot-headed people. These are short-fused people, volatile people. They're rash. They blow up quickly. They get upset easily. Proverbs says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Anger can be like other emotions. It can be contagious. And what do we see in the world today? We see a lot of people who are angry. And they're living with anger just under the surface. And if you watch the news, you'll see how this one person's angry and they'll attack people. And then somebody else will join in with them. I mean physically attack them. And they'll join in with them, and pretty soon you've got a mob of people, and they're just attacking random people they don't even know. It's just this big group of people because they're going to take out their anger on somebody. And so he says, hey, stay away from those people. Don't make friends with them. You'll be in trouble. And so it says, do not make friends with hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one angered easily. Easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Anger is contagious. Then fifth, people who steal are shoplift. Now these are people who are self-centered and they steal from others. And if they steal from others, they will steal from you. That's exactly right. They'll steal from you, right? And if you have them in your house, they could be siblings. She stole my clothes, and now look, she's wearing my clothes. Well, you stole mine last week, okay? And they go that route. But I'm talking about serious people who are serious about stealing. Proverbs says, we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder, cast lots with us, we will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot in their path. Stay away from those people. Number six, believers who sin sexually. Now listen, never expect an unbeliever to act like a believer until they are, okay? 1 Corinthians says this, when I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or are greedy or cheat people or worship idols. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. And then it goes on and says, I meant that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer yet indulges in sexual sin or is greedy or worships idols, or is abusive, or is a drunkard, or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. Why? Because they're a bad witness. And if you call yourself a Christian and you hang out with somebody who calls themselves a Christian, but they act in non-Christ-like ways, then that's going to be a problem. So stay away from those people. Avoid them. And then the Bible has a lot of positive advice to give about the people that we should choose to make our closest friends. Who should be our core friends? Well, I'm going to give you three qualities that we need to look for. Number one, choose friends who encourage me spiritually. I need to be around people who lift me up and not tear me down. When I became a Christian, and you know, I was in high school, I rededicated my life to Christ. I said, I'm going to have to start hanging out with my Christian friends because they're the only ones who can pull me up. I know that there are other people, but they're just going to pull me down. And so it says this in 1 Thessalonians, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Encouragement matters more than compliment. Both of those are great. But encouragement, is the definition of encouragement in the dictionary, it says it this way. The action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. These are the people we need to be around. A lesser known definition of encouragement is to fill the heart. Encouragement is meant to fill the heart of another person. Now, current statistics tell us 65% of 12 to 17-year-olds experience loneliness on a regular basis. We feel lonely because we have the wrong kind of friends, and they're not filling our hearts. And we're only going to fill our hearts with Christian friends around us. Number two, choose friends who consistently support me emotionally. Proverbs says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Now, a true friend walks in when everybody else walks out. They say, I'm here with you, not just I'm here for you. You see, that's what we're looking for. They say, I'm here with you. I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to walk with you through this journey every step of the way. Now, walking along with someone who's struggling means listening. It means speaking less and listening more. What did Job's friends do when they came to him? When he was struggling, he was in so much pain. They came to him, they stayed with him 7 days and 7 nights, and they never said a word. The Bible says because they saw how much pain he was in. When I was in the hospital, And I needed help, there were people who came and stayed with me. And sometimes, they did all kinds of things for me, but sometimes, one of the things they did that I needed the most was just leave me alone because I just didn't feel good. Sometimes I needed to try to sleep. I couldn't really sleep that well in the hospital, but I'd take little naps and stuff. And sometimes I just couldn't stay awake and be with them. So choose friends who will listen. Then third, choose friends who challenge me to think. God wants us to do that. Proverbs says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Friends are willing to call you on stuff, right? You know, if they see you dodging something, saying something, doing something that you know you shouldn't do and they know too, they'll call you on it. Because what we're called to do as Christians, we're called to speak the truth in love. And sometimes we have to care more about the person than what they think about us. If I tell this person the truth in love, they're going to get mad at me. But I don't care because I care more about them than I care about me. And so I'm going to tell them. I don't do it to kind of rub their nose in it. I don't do it to make me look superior. That's not what I'm doing. I'm really genuinely trying to help that person enough that I'm going to speak the truth in love. And I want people to do that to me, and they do. And so I benefit from that, right? And so, you know, if you just want to be around people like you, you know, that's fine. You can have like-minded people, and that won't really help you a whole lot. But if you want to have friends who are rich and meaningful and life-giving and heart-filling and filling in relationship, God says choose people who will challenge you the way you think. Now, there are three things that we do as core friends we're looking for. Encourage me spiritually, support me emotionally, challenge me to think. Your best friend should bring out the best in you. Now, let's switch gears and talk about the opposite just a little bit. How to have great friends. To have great friends, you must be a great friend, right? If you want to have great friends, you've got to be a great friend. Whatever I want other people to do with me, I need to do that with them. So let's look at eight building blocks that we can grow from. And I want to ask you, as you go through them together, pick one of these. Because at the end, I'm going to ask you which one is the one that you're going to pick to try to work on, okay? Number one, it says, be cheerful. Greet people with a smile. You know, if we take our friends for granted, we don't smile at them. The shortest distance between two people is a smile. It's the universal language. Even if you can't speak their language, you can smile and they'll smile back, right? The great thing about a smile is it costs nothing. But you can cheer somebody up who's going through a tough time. I'll tell you something else. Pay attention to this. If you smile, people will perceive you as cuter. Really? That's a statistic. I didn't make that up. So if you're single, I'm trying to help you out here. There you go. Show them your pearly whites and just keep doing that. How many of you are happy? It only takes 7 muscles to smile. It takes 42 muscles to frown. Proverbs says, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Now listen, we think a cheerful heart brings a smile to the face, but the Bible says it's just the opposite. It says a cheerful look brings joy to the heart. So try to give that to other people. Did you know facial muscles can change the mood of your heart? Did you know that people who are blind and they listen to somebody talk on the phone? Because they don't look at people, they listen to them. And if they're listening to somebody on the phone, they can tell whether you're smiling or not, or whether you're frowning when you're talking to them. They can tell by listening to you because they've done that before with people who are with them or on the phone, either one. They can determine that. And so when you don't feel happy, just start smiling. And it can change the mood of your heart. We think that our heart must change before you smile. God says, you start smiling, it'll change your heart. Proverbs says, the Lord hates evil thoughts, but he is pleased with friendly words. And so we try to be friendly and encouraging. Now, sometimes things happen and we get upset, right? Anybody in here ever get upset? Has anybody in here ever sinned, first of all? Let's ask that. Well, there was this one time, right? But other than that, I'm good to go. All right. So somebody, they went into the flower shop and they were upset. And they said, I had you send flowers to my friend for their housewarming. And you sent them flowers. And the card read, rest in peace. And the florist said, well, I'm sorry that happened. It was a mistake. But I want you to think about it in these terms. No matter how bad that is, there's someplace else it's worse. Because there's a graveside service somewhere where we've delivered flowers and the card reads, I hope you enjoy your new location. You think you've got problems. Somebody always has it worse. Look at the person next to you and say, somebody always has it worse, right? Yeah. So you can start off smiling. You might make a friend just by smiling. And also, then, number two, be comfortable, relax, and be yourself. If you have somebody who wants you to change in order to be their friend, then find another friend. Because you just need to be who you are, be honest and authentic. Now, you may change some habits. You may change some things that you are doing. But really, what I'm talking about is just you personally. You have to love yourself in order to love anybody else. In Matthew, Jesus says, And the second command is like the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? And so we have to love ourselves. You can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. If you don't feel good about yourself, then you're not going to want anybody else to feel good about themselves, are you? If you're insecure, you want everybody else to be insecure because misery loves company. Insecure people are looking for others to join them in their misery. You just need to realize God says you are a masterpiece. I didn't make anybody else like you. You're special. You're unique. No other person is just like you. And I want you to be who you are. And you want to be a friend. You don't have to wear a mask. You can just be yourself. 2 Corinthians says, we refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. We're not perfect, but what we see is there, we're authentic. We're the real deal. What you see is what you get. So be cheerful, smile, use friendly language, be yourself, be comfortable in your own skin. Then number three, be conversational by asking questions. When you meet someone, ask people questions about themselves so they can tell you. Laura and I did something we don't ever do. We were getting on the elevator in our building. We had this couple that were getting on the elevator with us, and they said, are you coming to the music tonight? And I said, huh? And they said, hey, we're having music. It's down by the pool. It's under the awning there, and they're going to be playing music, and it's kind of a get-together to meet your neighbors. And because we see them on the elevator all the time, but we don't ever talk to them except hello. We don't really know them. And so they kind of invited us to this thing, and we kind of felt obligated to try to go. Otherwise, every time we saw them on the elevator, they were going to say, snob. So we said, and the other thing was it was at 6 o'clock, which is a good time for us. If it's early, we can make it, right? We don't go much past that, but we can make it. So we go down there at 6 o'clock. They said, bring whatever you want to drink or food or whatever. We eat dinner earlier, so we'd already done that. Brought a bottle of water. We went down there, and we met some people. And we sat with them, and we talked to them, and we listened to this guy play music and his brother, and it was nice. And we asked questions. We learned about them, and we found out a little bit more about them, right? And then we left. Laura made it to 7:30. That was it. And that was really pushing it for her, okay? Because normally when we get home, we put our pajamas on, we eat dinner, we watch the news, and it doesn't have to be dark for us to fall asleep in our lazy boy. Because we just kind of check out. But we talk to these people, we ask them things. Now listen, if you want to talk to people, you need to ask them questions and let them tell you answers. What's that called? That's called conversation. Say that with me. Conversation, okay? As opposed to you telling them your life story and asking them nothing. That is known as a monologue, okay? We don't want to do a monologue. People don't want to listen to us. They want to be heard. Philippians says, don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others and in what they are doing. The secret of making friends is to be interested, not to be interesting. Notice the difference. This can help you next time you go on a date. Listen to me. This is the biggest mistake that people make because people just want to be heard. They're starving for it. They really need it. Now, number four, be considerate. Listen well and empathize. That's what good friends do. Everybody in the world is waiting to be listened to. And if you're a good listener, you'll never lack for friends because what is listening? It's loving. Listening to someone. What you're saying is, I'm going to give you my life, my time, my attention that I will never get back because I'm going to listen to you. And you're important. James, it says this, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Why do we do that backwards? We've read that some of us are dyslexic. We have read this scripture for years and we're doing just the opposite. We're quick to speak and slow to listen. And don't try to compete with other people by one-upping them. Oh, yeah, well, my dad's stronger than your dad. Okay, so there, right? That's not going to get you there. You need to listen to them. Romans says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Be happy with people who are happy. Be sad with people who are sad. Be there. That's empathy. Empathy is not sympathy. Sympathy is, I'm sorry you hurt. Empathy is, I hurt with you. And then there's a third level that we add to that, and that is compassion. Compassion. How many times in Scripture did we read, and Jesus was moved with compassion? Now let me tell you, when Jesus gets moved with compassion, what he's saying is, I'll do anything it takes to stop your hurt. I'll even die on the cross for you. You see the difference? That's true compassion. I'll die. That's how important you are to me. So if you're going to be a friend, you're going to have to share emotion. Be happy when they're happy. Be sad when they're sad. Number five, be consistent. Stick with them in tough times. You know, that's how you can tell you're a good friend. Proverbs says, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. And then in Job, it says this, anyone who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty. We said a few minutes ago that Job's friends came and stayed with him 7 days, 7 nights, never said a word, because they just wanted to be there for him. They saw that he was in so much pain. And then number six, be confidential. Don't gossip about them. If you think that when you gossip, it's keeping a secret, you're wrong. And everybody will begin to know that about you, and they won't confide in you anymore. Proverbs says a true friend will keep a secret. When people are opening their hearts and sharing their hurts with you, they need you to be confidential. Proverbs says, no one who gossips can be trusted, but you can put your confidence in someone who is trustworthy. Number seven, be candid. Always tell them the truth. The wounds that other people have, sometimes you may create them, but you're speaking the truth in love. A friend who really cares about you will be the source of hope and support and encouragement. Proverbs says an honest answer is a sign of a true friendship. Have you ever had to speak the truth in love to somebody? I had somebody do that to me one time, and I got mad at them. And as I reflected on it, I realized, hey, they were really caring about me. They could have just kept their mouth shut. They didn't have to tell me that. But they went out of their way to care about me, and they took a risk. And they told me something I needed to hear. And boy, it was a blessing. And I spent the rest of my life, the rest of his life, telling him about that until he died. I kept telling him how much I appreciated what he had done. And then number eight, be Christ-like. Love them. When people know that you're someone who just loves them for who they are, they'll be drawn to you. Love them unconditionally. Romans says this, therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. All the research shows that the antidote to loneliness is healthy friendships. And so Jesus modeled that for us. He showed us how to be a good friend to others and a person who fills the heart of another. And as we close, I just want to ask you a couple of questions today. Are your friends helping or hindering your spiritual growth? And number two, are you a great friend to others? Which of these eight building blocks applies to you? Which one would you pick and say, that's the one I need to work on? And then, which of your friends do you need to invite to church to come and be here? I want to close with one last verse, John 15:15, where Jesus says, I have called you my friends. That's good news. Jesus says he is your friend. He has accepted you. And the question is, Have you accepted him? Because that's what he wants. That's why he came. He wants to have a friendship with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And you'll never do all that he has for you to do on your own. But with him, all things are possible. And so today we can pray, Jesus, I accept you into my life today. I want to be a friend of God, and I want to be a friend of yours. And I want to know your purpose for my life. Help me to be a friend. Help me to pick good best friends. Help me to bring out the best in others. Help me to choose the right people who bring out the best in me. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Hey, today the prayer team's going to come up here so you can eyeball them real quick. And they're going to be ready to pray with you today. If you've got a prayer concern, if you're thinking, you know, there's something in that message that spoke to me, something I need to act on, something I need to do, this is a way to seal it with another person. Let's join together. And so where two or three are there, then I'm with them also. So Jesus says, I'll be right there with you. And you can make that commitment with them. And then what you can do is leave it here. You don't have to carry it with you out of this place. Y'all go ahead back to the garage doors where you can pray with folks. We're going to stand to sing together. If you need to pray, make sure and take care of that today before you leave.
You've heard the invitation. Would you stand?